Cleaning Nation, it is time. Time to have some fun, soak up some wisdom, and get everything that you need to grow your cleaning company. Before we do, I want to take a minute to give some love, throw a shout out to Cleaning Nation. You guys have been amazing about passing the word and helping the show grow. We just want to let you know that we all love and appreciate you sharing the good word. Keep up the good work. If you're getting massive value, share the love. Subscribe on Facebook, iTunes, YouTube, tattooed on your forehead, whatever you need to do. Show the world you're a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with my new best friend, Dirk Bach from SDQ Janitorial. SDQ has been serving in Minnesota and the Midwest for over 30 years with commercial cleaning services. If you want to reach out to Dirk and his team, you can hold them at www.sdqjanitorial.com. Dirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show today.
Good to have you, my friend. And if you had any misconceptions about me not asking you what the heck SDQ stands for, I'm going to alleviate those from you right now. What on God's green earth is an S, a D, and a Q all in a row?
Absolutely. No, it's a great question. And we get asked that a lot. Back in 1983, we started out as a very high-end residential maid service company, doing a lot of estates and catering, and we had a French name at that time called Service de Qualité, and it had a great ring to it. And one of the legacy families came out and said, I don't know how to spell that, so he wrote the check to SDQ, and that's how it started. So it stands for Service Dependability Quality, and we took it from the French phrase Service de Qualité.
Well, that service de qualité, and hopefully my wife's not listening because she speaks French and she always mocks my awful American terrible accent, sounds super fancy. If I was going to get my house cleaned and I want it done fancy, I would go with those people.
Absolutely. And that's what we were catering for at that time.
See, I totally would have been, well, I was 10 at the time, so I don't know if I had the funds to be, you know, your target market. But now, older Mike would be very interested in that fancy service. So tell us about your business now. Who do you serve now? How has it changed? What's going on in the SDQ world?
So we service a lot of the Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 customers. We are heavy in the medical space. We're in the industrial side, office. We do try to stay away from retail on that part of it. We clean everything from food production plants, from, for example, General Mills down to corporate headquarters, you know, of the Fortune 100, Fortune 50 type companies, to school districts. And so anything of relative size, we will look at it and determine if it's a good fit within our model, and we'll go for it.
Well, God, let me beat you up on that a little bit, because I'm constantly encouraging my clients and guests on the show to niche, and really be clear on who your customer is, and more importantly, who your customer isn't. And it sounds like you've kind of got some of that criteria, and I'd love to just hear an example. So what might I call in where you or your staff would go, this is a perfect appointment, we want to go on that, we want that job, and what on the flip side would it be like, not for us, we're going to pass?
So, you know, the business that we're in, so we have our customers fairly defined. We typically will not pursue anything that is not 5 to 7 days a week. Okay. So we do not want onesie, twosies, 3 day a week type of accounts. That being said, there are the exceptions, you know, where a customer is of size but is looking for reasons to cut back or what have you. So I can't say that we don't have those, but we typically, our minimum size would be 25,000 square feet. And so, we prefer, you know, buildings in excess of 100,000.
So first of all, I want to
50,000 square feet.
I love that you said we don't pursue. I think that's a really good distinction, because a lot of people be like, well, it's not on, it's not off. So I always coach red, yellow, green, which it sounds like that's what you've got in terms of green, is if it's a 100,000 square foot facility, it's 5 or 7 days a week. That's your bread and butter. You're in. But it sounds like if there's a 3 day a week, that would be yellow. It's not that you don't do it, but I like that you said we're not going to pursue it. So if they show up with a fistful of money, you're probably not going to yell at them and kick them out, but they're not who you're going to go after. And if there's a little $200 a month, once a week, little, you know, 800 square foot retail shop, doesn't matter what kind of money they have, you're not interested. Is that, am I putting words in your mouth, or is that
correct
about what you're talking
correct
about?
Nope, you're correct on that. And when it comes to a 3 day a week account, you know, we're looking for, is this a company that's going to scale? Is this a company that is experiencing growth? Is this a company that potentially will then go to a 5 day a week type of account? So from that standpoint, that's what we're looking at on there. There are exceptions where, you know, temporarily, you know, a company is coming in or they're coming in with, you know, kind of a smaller criteria, but, you know, they're scaling and they're looking to open up shop in certain markets, then, you know, that's something we're going to look at. But if it's pretty much constant, that type of work, you know, for our business, it's just not where we tend to focus on.
Cool. Fantastic. So you've been doing this 30 years, and it's great that you started with catering and residential, then you moved to commercial. Now you're pretty specific on we want commercial. We're ideally looking for 5 days a week, six-figure square footage. I love that you kind of made that transition. Where are you at in terms of employees? How many people you got running around there on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So just to kind of back up on what you're saying. So how we started, actually, my mom started the company in 1983, and she grew it and never actually took a penny out of the business for about 15 years.
Wow.
So just continued to put the retained earnings in there and grow it. And then we really started scaling it in the 90s. And then I formally transitioned into the business in 2000 and formally took over in 2006. So it is a second generation. We have completed that transfer. I have one sibling. He's 12 years older. He's actually retired at this point. But it was, so right now I'm the only, you know, truly active family member in the day-to-day side of the business.
So brag a little bit about where the company was when you took over in 2000. Where is that now? Because not to minimize, of course, anything that your family, your predecessors did, but I'd love to hear about what did you do? Like, what was the state of the company when you took it over, and where are you guys at now?
So in 2006 is when I assumed the role as president. And we did a couple things. We really started focusing in the medical arena. So that was an area that we kind of brought our company into, actually servicing hospitals, clinics. And then we started kind of niching out and getting into the production side of things. So food production facility. So again, a lot of those, if you're with large scale food producers, those will typically fall under the classification of a Department of Defense contract. And so, you know, it's a niche type of cleaning, and you have to be very specific as to how you clean it so you don't have the contamination or any sort of exposures, as you can imagine, you know, in sort of a food vat, which goes out to market on a large scale. So we looked at really kind of getting into very specific areas where we kind of saw the trends and the medical trends going to. So you're starting to see a lot more urgent care type facilities. And so we kind of started seeing that. So we wanted to kind of focus on that type as we started seeing how healthcare was changing. And if you remember back at that time too, the quote unquote green cleaning was starting to emerge. And this is about that time when, you know, the LEEDs were starting to have LEED certification and US Green Seal Building Service Councils coming and emerging. And so, you know, getting involved in those organizations, training, you know, looking at the types of products that we're going to use, and kind of the focus from your day-to-day cleaning to more of cleaning for health for our clients and our customers.
Okay, beautiful. And I'd love, full disclosure, I know Cleaning Nation's out here like, oh, this guy's a plant. He's one of Mike's customers. He's always talking about niche. And it's funny, Dirk and I talked a little bit before we started, and he was, until he got invited to be on the show by one of the producers, unfamiliar with the show. So this is just not a plant, a guy saying exactly the same thing I'm talking about, and start with a niche, own it. Yeah. Branch out. Don't be everything to everybody. That's a great way to go broke or at least go insane in short order. All right, well, thank you so much for sharing the...
And understand... Yeah. And then also understand, too, the business. I mean, as your business is growing, one thing that I would really look at, you know, when you have some critical mass behind you and you have a solid core of business, you have to always evaluate your teams and you have to evaluate your people. Right. And you've always heard the adage, you know, 20% of your customers cause 80% of your headaches. And so, you know, if there are customers in there that maybe don't make sense to the direction that you're going, it's okay to terminate those relationships. Obviously, you do it in a way that you're not burning bridges. But, you know, it's something that you have to really look and reevaluate the health of your company. And so that is something, you know, in our case that, you know, we have gone through and periodically we'll do those audits and look at it and see what customers maybe are draining the resources and the time and kind of if it's still a good fit for our organization. Because what I have found as we've been able to shed some of that areas, what I call the problem children, you know, it frees up really good crews where you can go after more profitable work.
Beautiful. I appreciate the insight on that, and I couldn't agree more. All right. Thank you so much for kind of giving the feedback of where you're at and what you're at. What's going on now that I can help you with today, my friend?
You know, it'd be always interesting to look at other markets. We are very specific as to a business as to what markets we want to pursue, who our customers are, kind of what our core model is. We have not looked at, and we do not want to do the acquisition for growth model. And you know, many, many companies that have been very successful in doing that. And that seems to be a pretty good trend as we're watching our industry and the consolidation side of it. However, there are markets that maybe we're looking at from, you know, just where do we want to be living in 10 years, you know, or just places that we travel and would be curious to know, you know, kind of what some of the markets look like potentially in Florida and also potentially in Texas, you know, what it looks like, you know, there in Texas, obviously, you know, the border type state. And so, you know, maybe there's some challenges around, you know, potentially undocumented workforces versus documented and things like that. So I'll just be curious to know what it's like in those type of markets.
Okay, so there's two kind of questions wrapped up in that. First, it sounds like you're saying, hey, what do you think about opening a commercial cleaning company in Texas and or in Florida? Second, and maybe I'm making this up, second would be, what is it like to open a satellite facility? Was that a good idea, bad idea? What kind of headaches am I going to run into? Is that the case, or am I putting words in your mouth?
Yeah, in that, in those specific markets.
Okay.
So, satellite facility in those two markets. Really Texas, not so much Florida.
Okay, so full transparency, I've coached some people in Texas, but I'm trying to think of which cities, yay and nay. I'm actually speaking there, I think, coming up in a month or two. But for me to categorically say, certainly in the future, I mean, not now, but definitely not in the future, Texas, good market, bad market, that would be, I'm not your guy. I live in Phoenix. I don't own a cleaning company currently. And even if I did, it wouldn't be, you know, it still wouldn't be in Texas. But I can give you some thoughts in terms of how I would evaluate a potential market to go into. Is that something that would be helpful or no?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Cool.
It's always helpful.
Well, the first thing you said that I really like that a lot of people don't anticipate is, where do we want to live? What would it like to be there? So first and foremost, because this is a big shift that I've made a long time ago and I try and help my clients go through it, is the business lives to serve me. I do not live to serve the business. So we forget that so often, that we start out this business thinking it's going to give me financial freedom, it's going to give me time freedom, it's going to give me security for my family, and all of these benefits we kind of envision the business giving us. And then what happens in reality is the business turns us on our head, and it becomes our master. We become its slave, with it saying, I need more time, I need more money, I need more passion, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, I need you to take this risk, I need you to miss this event with your family. And it really kind of warps the relationship. So I like the foundation of, before we move anywhere, first and foremost is, where does the Bach family want to be personally, whether it's a second home or a first home or a third home, don't care. I like that you kind of take that into case, like, where do I want to raise my family? Where do I want to spend time? And for me, and this isn't, you know, I'm sure other people would disagree, but for me personally, that's going to be the foundational question I need to answer before I go forward. So that said, is there some sort of kind of family tie or interest in spending time in Texas?
You know, I can't say my wife would want to be down there. The interest in Texas is it's a no income tax state. So there's, you know, for tax pieces. And then also, obviously, it's a lot warmer than Minnesota in the weather, you know, from that standpoint. So those are one of the areas, but it has a very robust market, right? You have Austin, you have San Antonio, you have Houston. So you have, you know, you have multiple markets. So there's a little more diversity within that state potentially than some of the other states. Need a good airport. So they have seem to have, you know, decent infrastructure from that standpoint. And so those are kind of one of the thoughts why we're looking, you know, into those, you know, long-term.
Well, I found one of the few things more expensive than taxes, and there are very few out there, because if you're anything like me, taxes are a big part of your life, is divorce. So if I'm a big happy wife, happy life kind of guy. So, so mama ain't on board. I would torpedo that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave. I won't. God forbid I coach you on that piece of it. So I'm going to. We're just going to assume that Mama's now on board. Your wife couldn't be more excited about Texas. And again, my two cents is, man, start that conversation sometime around February 12th when she's hasn't seen the sun in a month, and probably go a lot better than other times of year in Minnesota. So that said, I'd kind of look at some of the exact same things that you looked at in terms of when I say territory, is it going to be like Atlanta where it's big enough you could just literally do Atlanta, whereas Texas, they've kind of got the Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth. There's two or three, Dallas. There's two or three metropolises there right quick. Are you talking about serving that whole area or just starting with one with the potential? Or tell me about why that's attractive to you in terms of
start with one for a potential.
Okay.
Yeah, one for a potential. I mean, if we were probably looking at it, it would be potentially Austin. I mean, that seems like a area that would be more fitting for, you know, what we like and where we're going. It seems like a lot of companies have been migrating in that area, you know, say from California and other parts of the country.
Yeah,
so
Austin is
fairly robust.
Has been hot. So you've kind of got the typical stuff covered in terms of what are my populations look like, what is the business growth, especially since you're commercial, what is the business growth, the high-tech business, the types of businesses that are going to build or have the facilities that I'm looking to maintain, what kind of airports are there. All that is not to negate it or not give it its due. That's obviously so for me, the first layer of the foundation is where does my family want to live? Where will I be happy? And that would be first and foremost. Second, within that circle of places that I would enjoy living would be where the business climate's the best. And that would look kind of what you've discussed or hit on the head in terms of, sales tax is something to be taken into consideration. I think Texas, Nevada, Rhode Island, I think there's three or four states that Seattle, I don't believe has sales tax. Or income, state, personal income tax. So you kind of look at the tax situation as well as the business climate. I have done business in Texas as a contractor, and I got to tell you, we were in Arizona. We did business in California, Nevada, Texas, four or five states, and by golly, did we love Texas. You could just get crap done. There was not a lot of headache and nonsense, and you're not, I don't know that you serve the government entirely, but so yeah, that would be step one is where would my family be happy at? Step two is where is the business climate good? And then step three, I'd look at my own specific strengths and weaknesses with my company. Do you have any decent sized clients or relationships now that would have opportunities for you in Texas? So instead of having to start from scratch, you could start with a decent sized account?
Yeah, so that would be something we could easily tap into current and existing customers that we have. That have facilities in those areas and pursue them in there. So we wouldn't have to start from, zero scratch opening up in day one. It's a matter of just getting some critical mass, but definitely on point. That's a good suggestion, good starting point on that.
Yeah, that would be very attractive to me if I started with needing a 10-man crew that I could scale up to as opposed to onesie twosies and start with little accounts and working my way up. So that would be kind of all I'd have to say on specific to market. But then the last thing I would say that's not market specific but is kind of expansion specific, do you just have one facility now and just serve one area, or are you already regional?
We're already regional.
Okay, so you've already got the systems and processes in place to have...
So we have system processes in place. But if you know of systems and processes that you've seen, or obviously you've had many shows and heard from other companies, I mean, what are some of the things that you've heard or seen that companies that have those other components I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, the big thing I'd want to be able to do is before, and this is me personally, so there's some stuff I say, hey, this is just good business coaching. This is the right answer. Others are, this is my experience and this is how I would do it if I owned that company or put in that position. What I'm going to give you now is in that second ladder bucket of here's how I would do it. For me to feel comfortable opening another, first of all, all the customers you have now, are they drivable or do some require plane flight?
Plane flight.
Okay, so you've already got that. So I would.
No, I mean, in theory, you could drive. Yeah. So,
realistically,
in theory,
like, yeah.
You could drive there, but it's gonna be a real, real long day.
Yeah, but you put. Yeah. Okay. So it's more than like a 3-4 hour drive is now. Let's get on a plane.
Yeah. No, so we're talking like 14-15 hour drives.
Right. That's for sure a plane ride. Okay. So if I've already got that, I'm feeling probably 80% of the way there. The last thing I would need, but this is because I'm anal and I don't like headaches, is I would want to be able to step back from the business for weeks at a time without fires going on, because that's really what I would want to be able to expect to do in terms of I'm not going to be able to be at home base, so to speak. I'm going to need to be in Texas for weeks or months at a time, and I need to know that that works out okay. So I'm going to do that dry run before I start futzing around in Texas. I'm going to intentionally either not work at all for a couple of weeks or work from home or remotely and just, you know, without any access to employees. So that's how I'm going to dry run it. First, I'm going to set up having some accounts that are a little further than I'm used to, and maybe employees that don't get hired out of the home base, but they're hired remotely. Sounds like you've already got that done. For me, the second step would be taking at least 2 weeks where I'm either not working at all or just working on kind of proactive projects, not putting out any fires, not dealing with the employees, just kind of doing my own internal work that nobody's really looking at, or at the very least only work by phone where I'm just not at the office for 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time without stress, right? Obviously you could do it, but then you're like, oh my God, I got to get back and cover up and fix everything. Everything fell apart. You know, they turned into a parking lot while I was gone. That's not it. You can just slide out and slide back in without a lot of drama. If I had those pieces in place, I would personally feel comfortable with starting another location in that far away.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good.
Cool. All right. I would, we could chat on this forever, but we've got to, we try and keep the shows around the same thing. And I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to answer the lightning round questions. So we're going to turn around and give you an opportunity to give some of your experience back to Cleaning Nation. Three quick questions. I have full confidence you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece you've ever received, either personally or professionally?
So I'm married. I have three children. And early on, I had a mentor who sat me down and was, you know, it's a phrase, other people may have heard it, no success can compensate for the failure in the home. So at the end of the day, you have your family, that's what you come back to. And so as the success comes, don't forget you have a family. And at the same time, you know, success requires sacrifice. As you own your own business, there are sacrifices that you're making. And so it's very important to make sure that you keep a good balance. And, you know, monetarily, it's not worth, you know, any sort of success to have those sort of regrets or failures.
Well, just like we talked about, or we touched on earlier, there's very few things in life more expensive than divorce. And I'm not just talking in dollars. I'm talking in years of life off of your, you know, existence and just the pain and suffering. Pound for pound, divorce is going to be more than just about anything I can think of with business. So thank you for that feedback. Question number two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business we can all learn from?
You know, jumping to conclusions or making assumptions without really evaluating. So we had a situation not too long ago where obviously cleaning companies, you know, where a customer came out and, you know, and accused us immediately of one of the cleaners leaving something in a particular area. And it happened to be an area that was closed. And if I remember, it was kind of in the fire extinguishing piece of the building. And when we saw the picture, like, there's no way we would do that. Why would we even go to that area? And so without really checking into it, we kind of just, you know, kind of jumped to the gun and said, wait a second, you know, protocol, we wouldn't do this. You know, we've been in this facility for, you know, a decade plus. Why? Well, turned out we did do it. So we had to eat crow on that. Now, there is an explanation why we did it. And, you know, it would have been nice if we had taken an extra 10 minutes and researched, you know, what had happened, contact the crew on that versus just jumping to conclusions on there. Because this is someone that, you know, it was a route where the individual's been on that account for over a decade. And so we said, there's no way they do it. Well, it turned out they did. And the reason that they had is they put it in that area just to be discreet because they didn't have somehow that the janitor door wasn't, they weren't able to get into the closet. And so they went to go tell, you know, the next day they're going to tell the contact, hey, we can't get into the thing. We can't get the stuff back in there. So they put it in there just assuming that no one would see it. It just turned out that, as Murphy's Law would have it, that the inspection for those systems were happening the following day. So they happened to see that. So obviously that escalated to health and safety, you know, departments and stuff like that. So again, don't jump to conclusions on things.
Yeah, I don't know if you're like me, but I've been in the situation often enough where you jump up and down, my employee would never, that customer would never, this is crazy. and you eat crow about four times in a row and you start tempering your responses before you jump to, are you out of your mind? No, we would never.
Absolutely.
You go, that doesn't sound like any like us, but nothing's possible. Let me look into it. Because you get slapped a couple times. You learn pretty quick, like, oh, I'm gonna temper my responses. So that's a great point, and that story illustrated perfectly. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation could put into practice to improve their business or their lives immediately? Something quick and easy to implement.
There is, check your work and really often go in and audit your clients and find out what ones are the good ones and look at the type of customers that are really your core customers, the kind that are generating the healthy bottom line for you. And then based on that information, start niching out your business and finding how can we get more customers like this.
All right,
so it's just a healthy audit to your organization and your customer base.
Quick and easy, check your work. Easier said than done, but something you can absolutely implement right away. Dirk, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Dirk's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.